You're listening to OWW Radio,
the official radio show of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com.
All right, so here we are, living it day by day. You are a superstar, and that's what she used to always say.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this edition of OWW Radio. This is the official radio program of OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. Each week, OWW Radio will bring perspective to the WWE, TNA, and everything else making news in the world of professional wrestling. My name is David, and this week I welcome my good friend, Kerry Morris, to the show. It's a great time, Kerry, to have you on the program. Welcome to OWW Radio. Looking forward to talking about everything going on in WWE.
Listen, thank you for having me back on again.
Yeah, we've had you on the show a couple times. Always enjoy your insight, but like I mentioned at the top, this is really the perfect time to have you on because not only do I want to get your thoughts on WrestleMania 30 as that is shaping up, but you were front row this past Monday night at the Raw in Chicago. So, you know, Chicago's a great wrestling town. How was the crowd in general in your experience this past Monday?
The crowd was one of the loudest I've been to in years, and loudest, I mean, throughout the show, from the time the Superstars taping started all the way to just about the end. The energy kind of was taken out of the crowd in the last few minutes when we realized that CM Punk was not going to show up. But other than that, best example I can give during the Daniel Bryan, Stephanie Triple H promo in the ring, that is the first only time I've ever been to an event where I could not hear them talk. I only knew they were talking because they had a microphone to their mouth. I couldn't hear a thing. The crowd was so loud.
Well, first of all, you had great seats. I mean, right there by the turn, I saw you on TV about 40 times. And really, it's a great seat because you're right there as they're coming in and out of the ring. And when you saw Paul Heyman come out at the beginning to CM Punk's music, certainly they were teasing that Punk was there. At the end of the day, when you look back on that, did you like how they did that?
Yeah, because I know originally they were going to do Bad News Barrett, and I'm glad they mixed that. And I think Paul Heyman gave an excellent promo from, you know he went outside of the script with what was originally planned, but he tied in nicely to about Punk, and then working that into the Undertaker-Lesnar storyline going into WrestleMania. Brilliantly done.
He's unbelievable, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that man, he's a genius behind the mic. He really is. And he can be a genius booking-wise, too. So definitely an asset the business, you know, needs to have around, you know, every day, 24/7.
I even liked how he sat down and everything. But let me ask you, were we kind of suckers for thinking that CM Punk could even maybe show up?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, I text our central office Facebook message that, you know, hey, they're selling CM Punk merchandise at the souvenir stands. Maybe that was a sign of things to come. But for some reason, when the music started, I thought, okay, this has got to be a tease. And the guy behind me who goes to the WrestleMania event every year, recognized him. And we're like, he's like, no, it's not him. It's going to be someone else. But at the same time, we were hoping that at the end he would do a run-in, maybe through the crowd or something.
I think he's gone. I mean, I wrote a column about this, and I've done some reading on the internet from other people's viewpoints. I'm really trying to understand this because we haven't seen this very much, where a top star just goes home. What would appear to be on his own decision. He's not injured, I don't believe, is he?
No, but I think it's burnout. It's a mix of burnout, injuries. He's never had a fully chance of time to heal, and he's a competitor. He really loves the business, and his goal is to make it at WrestleMania. And he saw that wasn't happening and was creative. And he said, you know, hey, I've saved my money. I'm not dependent on this. I can live my life just fine without it, and I don't need this. And that was it. I mean, luckily for the fans, Vince wants him back. He knows he's a merchandise seller and a ticket seller and a pay-per-view seller, so Vince wants him back. Now, apparently Paul Levesque does not care for him and would not mind seeing him gone, so that's another story. But Vince is still hoping to work out the deal, apparently.
The main points carried in my column, which I'm sure you read, as everyone I'm sure has read, tongue-in-cheek, was that I have a hard time feeling sorry for someone who's making the kind of money he's making when so many Americans are struggling to make ends meet. Now, your point about, well, he loves the business and he got fed up. I've read that a lot as well, and I see that point of view. But his contract was running, what, through June? Is that correct?
July, yeah, July. Mm-hmm.
July, okay. So are we not at least allowed to be mildly critical that he didn't honor his contract? And by the way, for the people that are coming to WrestleMania 30, such as you and myself, not that you're going specifically to see CM Punk, but aren't we paying good money, Kerry, to see the best wrestlers in the best company in the world? And he is spinning in my eye in a way and saying, you know what, I don't care that you spent all that money. I'm just irritated. I'm going home.
You know, and that's where I'm torn. I can understand both sides, definitely. I mean, I told Lisa Marie Verone this when I was at a restaurant at the Sports Circle in Chicago. Great place to go, by the way. I was telling her, I said, you know, I go every year to see Undertaker. And then I told her, I said, when he's gone, the person I'm going to keep going to see is CM Punk until he's gone. And now it's like, oh, well, Punk's gone. He probably may never come back. And Taker is running down the last few matches. So I was like, oh, now what? I mean, part of me thought, why not just finish it out through July and go out on your own, especially get a nice WrestleMania payday. Just, you know, why not and say you're part of the show, and then after that, go out on your own.
Yeah, I still look at WrestleMania like the biggest show of the year for the biggest company in the world. And, you know, I did a very small independent show a couple weeks ago in Mount Carmel, Pennsylvania. I did some ring announcing for him. And, you know, you see the passion of each wrestler, Kerry, on that show. They will never get an NXT tryout, yet alone an opportunity to be on WWE television. I hope I'm wrong. I mean, they were nice guys. But to see someone, I don't know. I respect his journey. It's an unbelievable story, and I like him. I love him as a wrestler, and I like his moxie and his attitude. I don't like not honoring contracts. I don't like the fact that you walk out and don't tell us why and just think it should be okay. I can't do that in my job. I mean, wouldn't it be wonderful? I could just quit my job and, you know, not have to report to anybody. I you know, for people, I have friends, Kerry, who don't have employment right now and are struggling to feed their families. I don't have a lot of sympathy for someone because they didn't get to main event WrestleMania.
Yeah, and that's the thing. And that's right. I'm torn about it. I mean, part of me wants to just kind of just wait and see what happens, see how it plays out, you know, and then kind of form, you know, my decisions and opinions on that. But I definitely see how it's like, you know, you did sign that deal. You definitely need to honor it. You know, you worked hard. I know you had to go through a lot of crap and a lot of, you know, through a lot of politics and stuff, but see it through. I think at least in the end that you'd come out better in the end anyway, whether you got that main event WrestleMania or not. Look what happened to Steve Austin. I mean, you practically almost ruined him, I mean, for walking out.
So do you think that it's a bit overrated when we talk about the hometown? You know, you being in Chicago there, of course, Punk, you know, born and raised, still living there. I mean, as wrestling fans, do we get all excited about the fact, well, this show's in Chicago Monday night, he's got to be here? I mean, with the mood of the crowd, you said it took a real hit, didn't it, when they knew he was not there?
Yeah, probably in the last five or so minutes of the show, you could just tell the energy just went out, honestly. And then you could kind of tell, it's like, okay, it's not going to happen. And, you know, I mean, overall, I still had a blast. I enjoyed the show. I know fans that wrote back in the party bus were just, you know, for the most part, purely negative, and I was just working my last nerve. I mean, just because it was Chicago and it's CM Punk's hometown, home area, you know, to me, that's a part of me, like, you know, maybe if he is back, why not make it a more surprise and do it in a different city? Why make the obvious?
Hmm. So, yeah, so you rode the Lisa Marie party bus? I didn't know that. I know that they ran a bus trip from her restaurant. That's how you got there?
Yeah, they had two. It was enough people, or probably a couple hundred people going, you know, 100 people each bus. It was a nice big old limo, Windy City limo buses, and, you know, everyone has the TV and the DVD player, and we watched WrestleMania 15 all the way out to the arena and back. And it's actually pretty cool. And for $20, you got an exclusive shirt and a nice ride out there and back, and you don't have to worry about the hassle of traffic or anything else. It's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. You've gone to her restaurant a few times. Pretty good, huh?
Oh, God, the food's amazing. You've got to go. And Lisa's always there. Lisa's super friendly. She'll sit down and have a conversation with you, and sometimes she'll even join in on your meal if you have room at the table. I mean, she is very sweet, super down to earth.
That's good to hear. Wish her good luck. That's what's called Squared Circle. Is that right? Is that the name of the restaurant?
Square Circle, 2418 North Ashland in the Lincoln Park neighborhood of Chicago.
Do you find it interesting that the tagline they use all the time now is doing what's best for business, right?
Yeah.
And it's very hard to find transcendent stars. I think you can find good wrestlers. As an example, I think Darren Young is a very, very fine professional wrestler. I think Titus O'Neil. I think Zack Ryder. I think Kofi Kingston. These guys are all obviously very, very talented professional wrestlers. But how easy is it to find somebody the fans just love? It's extremely hard, right, Kerry? Yeah, here you have Daniel Bryan and CM Punk, who you could argue would help replace John Cena, or at least minimize the blow if he was gone for a while. Why are they so reluctant to give the fans what they want?
You know, that's a good question. I keep going over, and you know, how much of this is being worked into a storyline, how much of it is just, you know, people are being stubborn. I mean, you know, Vince is a genius, but he's also known for being stubborn and wanting his way. It took Shane and Jim Ross to say, hey, we're getting our butts kicked by WCW. We need to go to more realistic, more, you know, less cartoonish gimmick. And then a couple years after that, it took those two, I think, Paul and Sean, to say, hey, we need to go more attitude era and just balls to walls. And yet we got to compete until they change our product. And Vince was very reluctant to do it until finally he caved in. Sometimes this might be one of those things because, you know, Vince loves the Hulk Hogan look, the big muscle, 6'8" look. You know, the guy that's going to turn heads at airports. And he may not see that in Daniel Bryan, but when you have Michigan State making sure it's off his logo and getting a whole arena to chant that, I mean, that's someone that's going to come along once in a generation. Steve Austin, Hogan, Bruno Sammartino, people like The Rock, I mean, people like that. They don't come by very often.
They don't. And, I mean, I would be mildly nervous if CM Punk showed up on TNA. And I know, they're never going to be true competition. But,
no.
I don't know, a lot more people would watch TNA Impact if he was on that program.
Oh, of course, yeah. I'm just and then mainly watch for his segments. But, hey, that's more eyeballs going from one company to the other. And, you know, hey, eventually, people, I think, said that something about WCW. They've never, ever compete with them at that level, and they did, and beat them for a while.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing we learned about Bret Hart was you never say never in terms of, like, oh, well, Daniel Bryan would never go to TNA. I mean, you know, we know that's not true. This business is very complicated, and because they don't have a union, they have to look out for themselves, make the money when they can. And if TNA, you know, put a Godfather offer on the table, who's to say that CM Punk wouldn't be tempted to try that other promotion? But I wanted to ask you, Kerry, what was the reaction to Batista by the live crowd?
Booed out of the building. I mean,
right.
It was just, it was all said that, but it's kind of like, he comes down the aisle, he's booed out of the building, and then it's like, then almost instantly the crowd's bored with him. Like, hey, this guy's boring, he's old, it's, you know, as the saying goes, excuse my language, same old shit.
I am really, really disappointed in the main event. If it comes down to being just Orton versus Batista, oh my goodness. I mean, I respect them both. I mean, I have with either performer. But, I mean, just a dry, who cares kind of thing. Now, I made this point in my column also. I am not a fan of hotshot booking the night of the show. So if you're going to all of a sudden run CM Punk down and put him in a triple threat, or change Daniel Bryan, or he beats Triple H and then he's in the main event for a title shot, I don't like that. I like the build. I like the storylines leading into the evening of the show. I don't want a surprise triple threat. Do you agree with me, or would you be okay with that?
Well, if you put CM Punk in there, I would not be thrilled with that. I mean, I love the guy. He's, like I say, he's a wonderful wrestler, but he wouldn't fit. He wouldn't fit in that storyline. I think if you built the storyline in, as in, hey, if Daniel Bryan can beat Triple H or WrestleMania, he gets in the title match. If you build it overall the next few weeks, then I'd be okay with that. You know, if you did a WrestleMania 9 where Hogan comes down and beats Yoko in 5 seconds, wins the belt, that's, you know. You know, I'm saying, I'm like you. You want that build in anticipation. You know, all that. You know, like you had The Rock and Cena in WrestleMania 28, the whole build for, and the same with Undertaker and Triple H. in the Hell in a Cell. You just had that excitement. You couldn't wait for the match, you know, the whole weekend, the whole day. And that's something I think they would lose if all of a sudden it was just a last-second switch. So, but nothing wrong with building that stipulation in. Like, say, that's Hogan's announcement on Monday on Raw, saying, hey, this match is going to happen as a stipulation. And you build that in.
But let me ask you, if that's the stipulation, isn't it then 100% obvious that Daniel Bryan would beat Triple H? I mean, they're not going to have him lose and then not be in the main event.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I think it's a little bit of a, it's, you know, like Dermot says, you know, let the story finish. They're working things out. And he thinks great things are coming. Just give him a chance to work it out. And I think, it seems like we've had this for years, maybe not recently, but, you know, the underdog wins at Royal Rumble. How's the head honcho going to screw him over and keep him out of the title match or winning the title? This is a little bit different take on it, I think. They're going to really try to screw him out until the last second.
Mm-hmm.
In that case, it wouldn't bother me so much because, you know, he's finally going to get his moment. And you can't have your main event being your just top heel Randy Orton versus top heel Batista.
It does seem like they're going to have to change this around, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, and that's why. In some ways, that's what makes it so intriguing, so exciting. Like, where are they going to go with this, and how are they going to do it? It seems to be a little unconventional, but that might be a good thing versus, like I said, the standard. You know, the underdog wins the Rumble. Have to screw them out at the February pay per view, or in the next Raw, or until WrestleMania. And it's a little different way of getting there.
Okay, so you made me feel a little bit better about that. And I do think, listen, I don't want to be completely negative towards the WWE because I love it. It's my favorite promotion. And I think there's some real stars on the horizon, or at least some guys that are really grabbing my attention now. I think Cesaro is fantastic. I think he's just invigorating to watch in the ring. I love him. I think The Shield is still interesting. I think the Wyatt family is interesting. You know, I even like Titus O'Neil now that he's on his own. I think he's got some real potential. So, if you were looking at booking WrestleMania 30, we're going to talk about some of the other big matches before we finish today, but who would you from maybe the up-and-coming group, Kerry, want to see in some high-profile matches? Maybe Big E Langston?
I would see, and I've heard what they might do, and I got a few ideas with him, and I wouldn't mind seeing him in a triple threat with Jack Swagger and Cesaro for the Intercontinental title, or him and Dean Ambrose unifying the two belts. I mean, I was thinking about that earlier today, and after Monday's Raw, I mean, the crowd was super into the Wyatts and the Shield and Cesaro, and I'm thinking, you know, they have a lot of good young talent where I'm already excited and looking forward to WrestleMania 31 and seeing, you know, potentially Roman Reigns main eventing. I mean, him, I could see him really skyrocketing this next year. I'm looking forward to Northern California next year.
Yeah, that's an interesting location for sure. Have you ever been to the Northern California area?
No, so I'm excited. I may stay there a bit longer, go to San Francisco, catch a Giants game, or you know maybe catch an Oakland A's game or something while I'm up there after the event.
By the way, the misconception about San Francisco and Napa Valley, because I love wine, is that it's like 5 minutes away. It's really, I think, like an hour outside of San Francisco. So, you know, I always thought it'd be, you know, you could go to the city and then just hop out to wine country. It's a commitment.
Well, and also the misconception is that Northern California is warm. No, in April, it might be jeans and sweatshirt weather. I've had enough people tell me that. Don't expect it to be hot like San Diego or L.A., so I'm prepared for, you know, sweatshirts, hoodies, jeans, just in case, especially being outdoors at night.
That's true. A couple more points about WrestleMania 30 I want to touch on. We're hearing rumors that we may see Cody Rhodes versus Goldust, and we're also hearing rumors that The Shield may be involved in a triple threat. This is a problem to me, Kerry, because I like tag teams. I like tag teams that stay together. When I was growing up, there was never this assumption that the Killer Bees were going to turn on each other or that the Rougeaus were going to turn on each other. In fact, they didn't for years. They teamed together for years. Now we are so conditioned that if you're together for 6 months, we got to break them up. I mean, why break up Cody and Goldust? They're great together.
Well, exactly, and that's where, I mean, I think they could put on a great match if you have a one-on-one match against each other, but it's not the right time. And I mean, I know Triple H wants to bring back the tag team vision and rebuild it, and they've had some great teams. Why split up? I mean, at this point, yeah, split up the Real Americans. Cesaro is trying to break out as a main event star, but, you know, you've already broken up the primetime players. You know the Shield breakup is coming eventually. I hope they'd hold that off longer and build it up a little longer. because, I mean, the Shield still is great together, although I want to see Roman Reigns break it out. But, yeah, Cody and Goldust, I mean, to me, that's your top tag team right now. Don't break them up yet, in my opinion. Eventually have them one-on-one match. Have them break up, but just not yet.
I agree with that. I agree. By the way, I would throw AJ in a title defense against Emma right now. I mean, it seems like the crowd likes her. She's kind of quirky. It would be a different, different matchup. What do you think about AJ versus Emma for the Divas title?
I haven't thought about that because I know they were building. They were going to build, I believe, AJ and Naomi before her eye injury.
Mm-hmm.
Unless I'm getting my fucking apples mixed up. I believe it was Naomi and AJ was the plan originally, but they now heard they might do like a multi Divas match instead. But that could be a good one, honestly. Emma's catching on fast, and it might be a chance for her to shine and just see what she can do on the big stage.
Well, what I'm hoping for, normally the Divas match, and you know, I mean, I'm a huge Beth Phoenix fan, so the Divas match was always important to me when she was involved. But most of the time, those multi-Divas tag matches are completely meaningless, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah, I mean, from the Divas Battle Royal to the 10 Divas match at WrestleMania 26, and it's a mixed tag. I mean, yeah, back in the day when you had a good feud with, you know, whether it be Chyna or Alita or Trish, you know, that was very important. You're looking forward to that. But I like to bring that back, and I think with AJ they can, and some of the Divas, I think they have a chance of bringing that back.
You know, one last point about the Divas. We had Diva Dirt head writer Chrissy on a couple weeks ago, and she made a really good point about what the TV show Total Divas has done for that division. And you know, it used to be that these girls couldn't get any exposure 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, they'd be on Raw for 5 minutes in a terrible squash match. And Total Divas has been a hit for the E! Network and given girls like the Bella Twins and Natalya, you know, this newfound exposure.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, it's amazing. As the popularity and the ratings they do, it's impressive, honestly. So, I mean, it's a chance to form, to actually not only have you had some of the, you know, the male stars cross over into other genres, but entertainment, but now the Divas can cross over too and become mainstream celebrities.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last two matches I want to talk about for WrestleMania 30. John Cena is going to wrestle Bray Wyatt. They've done a decent job here setting this up with his knee injury. Is there any chance at all that John Cena loses this match clean?
Yes, I still, you know, I give a 30-40% chance he will. I think it's needed, honestly, because you need it, because I think Bray Wyatt is still more of a future. You need a good top, you know, credible heel, you know, and, you know, John Cena's not getting any younger. I mean, he's still the top star, but it wouldn't hurt his popularity, it wouldn't hurt his stock if he lost clean to Bray Wyatt at WrestleMania.
I hope you're right. I feel like the only way Bray Wyatt wins this is if it's just some, you know, one run in that, another, tons of interference from Luke Harper and Eric Rowan. So I don't know. I think the Shield is cool. I loved the Shield and the Wyatt six-man tag at Elimination Chamber. To me, it was my favorite tag match that I had seen. My favorite match I've seen, I think, in 5 years was that first match on NXT Arrival, Cesaro versus Sami Zayn. What did you think of that match?
I see that, and I've seen, like, you know, the Performance Center, and I just think, man, they have so many good things going on for the future that I hope that the ball just keeps rolling, you know, and just keeps getting bigger and better. And I just think, wow, they have so much talent in the future. For God's sakes, don't screw it up. That's all I can say. Just don't screw it up.
Okay, and then the last match I wanted to talk about for WrestleMania 30, you're a big Undertaker fan. You enjoy his yearly match. I'm going to go in the other direction. I get bored by this every year because they're never going to have him lose. And I suspend my disbelief. I want to feel like each man could win. And I did feel that in 25 when Shawn Michaels pushed him to the limit. I enjoy the matches for the athleticism. I respect Undertaker tremendously. But his entrance takes 15 minutes. His match takes a total of 45 minutes. And as a result, a lot of the stars carry can't get on the program, even in a four-hour show. Now, you could say, well, but, you know, he's such a big part of it. I get that. 22-0, 30-0, 60-0, I mean, it's scripted. I don't get the streak at all. I'm one of the few people that doesn't enjoy it. Convince me.
I remember back in the day, in a four-hour WrestleMania, you could get 14 matches on the card. I think you take away some of the fanfare, some of the spectacle, you could squeeze in, you know, a couple more matches. I mean, I know his entrance takes a long time, but some of the other entrances do too. And then recapping all the video packages and the replays, I mean, cut some of that out, you could fit, and cut out some of the stupid comedy skits, you could fit, you know, a couple more matches on there. I'm kind of surprised this year they're not going 5 hours like they did at WrestleMania 20. I'm kind of surprised by that, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But, I definitely get what you're saying. I felt like he could have lost at WrestleMania 25 or even at 28. I thought he might have could have lost it there, too. I'm just kind of looking forward to it. It's hard for me to – I'm biased. I mean, I'm a huge Undertaker fan. He's my number one guy since he debuted in 1990. So, yeah, I'm a little biased. I know the streak won't end, but it'll still be a good overall. Like you said, athleticism, the match will be work out great. I mean, I know next year, if it's him and Sting, that's obviously a, you know, no-brainer there. And then his final match against John Cena in Cowboy Stadium, if that's where it goes, I think that could bring back some interest. Well, will he lose his last match? Will he go out on top?
I would like John Cena versus The Undertaker just for the crowd reaction.
Well, exactly. Oh, that too, yeah. I mean, that's why, people are wondering, like, why not do that this year? Because what if Undertaker has an injury and can't continue on anymore? Have you lost out on that? You know, instead of waiting two more years and hoping that he'll make it to what will hopefully be a Cowboy Stadium and 100,000 people watching, you know, his last match. But, oh, yeah, the crowd reaction is going to be amazing if that does happen.
Do you like how they booked Brock Lesnar in general since they brought him back? Because, you know, first of all, we saw him lose in UFC. All right. And so that, to me, it chips away a little bit at his invincibility. And then he's also lost to Triple H. So, you know, he's not the greatest challenge The Undertaker's ever faced, is he?
He's up there. I mean, he may not be the absolute greatest. He's definitely up there. I think Shawn Michaels presented the better one. I think even Triple H and Hell in a Cell presented the better one. But he's still close up there, maybe like number three or number four. I know he's definitely be the stiffest one he's ever worked with. I know that's been a concern for injury, because I know Taker likes to work out his matches with guys in advance, and work out the spots in advance, and Brock's usually not that one of those guys. Maybe this time he'll make an exception. I say in some ways they booked him okay, but in some ways, like, I definitely get what you're saying. Like, you know, it's kind of like Zeus from 1989. If those remember 1989 Zeus from the old bar, the way they built him to be an unstoppable monster. You know, he kind of has that, but they took away some of that by losing to John Cena at Extreme Rules and then to Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that monitor he threw into the crowd at Raw in Chicago, definitely. They think Brock Lesnar is a monster, I'm sure.
So that the monitor, I kind of turned away for a second. It literally flew, what, five rows into the crowd?
Yeah, it hit the ring and bounced through the rope. Somehow, it went right through the rope. And it went through about the fourth or fifth row. And it was like, holy crap. The camera crew, you know, ringside, the production crew were in a panic mode checking people were okay. And there was a small little lawsuit chant going on from some of us at ringside. And I don't think anyone was truly hurt. I think someone may have been a little bruised, a little hit by it, but nothing, you know, immediate medical attention.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well,
glad it didn't come on my side.
No kidding, right? So, I really, look, I spent a lot of this show complaining about WrestleMania 30. I am excited about it. It's always, it's always fun this time of year. And I'm looking forward to seeing Hulk Hogan, run around the ring with a feather boa on and rip the shirt off. And, you know, I'll feel like I'm 15 again. But the one thing I wanted to talk about that is a very big positive, in my opinion, is this WWE Network. Are you subscribing?
I will. I want to wait till all the little issues and the bugs get worked out before I get the right equipment to set up. Plus, I'm not a tech-savvy person, so I'm a little slower with the stuff. I need a little extra time to figure out what I need to do, but I will definitely be subscribing. But I want all these kinks to be worked out first before I join up.
Yeah, there's been some streaming issues. There's been some technical problems. I've logged on several times. I loved the fact that I could watch that NXT Arrival show live. The match was fantastic. I watched a countdown show yesterday with my kids, a WWE famous taglines, and mm-hmm. It was amazing. It was so well done, and I've caught up on some old pay-per-views. You know, the only negative about the pay-per-views, like all the WCW pay-per-views, is you go back and mm-hmm. watch them and you realize how bad they were.
Well, I mean, I'll watch some old WCW Thunder episodes, and I'll put you to sleep. So if you haven't saw me, watch some of their stuff too.
Yeah.
But I know I am definitely excited about seeing, you know, all the past reviews of, you know, ECW and WCW. You know, because there were some good ones there. There were some good matches, especially in the old NWA days. Well, and I've heard people talking about the shows they have on there, like the Countdown and other stuff. And I'm looking forward to the Monday Night War, you know, shows, and so I'm excited about it. I'm just saying, I just want all the kinks worked out before I sign up.
Sure. I understand. I think you'll really like it. I give them two thumbs up. I think the concept is great. $10 a month, you get all the pay-per-views live. It's a great deal. And, you know, but I went back and watched Starrcade 99. Which was in Washington, D.C. My friend Jamie and I, you met Jamie, he and I went to D.C. to see Starrcade that year. The main event was Bret Hart defending the WCW
and Goldberg,
title.
Yeah. Goldberg. I remember watching.
Yep.
I almost flew out and watched that one. I didn't at the last minute.
Ironic, right? Maybe we would have met earlier.
Oh, yeah.
But
what did y'all think of the show live? What did y'all think of it?
You know, we had really bad seats. And I, at the time, kind of missed the mule kick that Goldberg hit him with, and I didn't realize the impact. And I guess it's towards the end of the match when Roddy Piper comes down as the fourth referee. Do you remember this?
Yeah, I remember that, and I just remember thinking, what the hell is this? And then I thought, this is definitely Vince Russo stamped all across over it.
And they did the whole kind of like, oh my God, Montreal all over again. Piper comes in and rings the bell, and I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
First of all, the mule kick that Goldberg hits him with, it is amazing it didn't kill him.
Yeah, it was a stiff shot.
It's very stiff. And then the Piper running at the end is so awful. He walks to the ring slower than The Undertaker. He comes in, rings the bell, takes the belt, and walks away. And I remember when we were there that night in Washington, just feeling very flat. I mean, that is not the way to end what is supposed to be their biggest show of the year.
Well, yeah, and especially, you know, they had a Starrcade 97 there, 98 there, and I watched 97 on pay-per-view. It was one of the first ones I watched in years. I stopped watching after the Bash to the Beach 96 one, the pay-per-view. This was loyalty. I stayed with WWF. I wasn't going to watch WCW. But I watched that with Sting coming back, and I remember thinking even that ended badly, too. And again, this was your biggest pay-per-view of all time, and that's how you end it. And then I can go from a sold-out, rabid crowd in D.C. of 97, and then 98, and all of a sudden the attendance just drops in half, and it's just the quality's not there. And it's amazing how bad and how fast that company fell.
Yeah, pretty remarkable, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, when you're blowing, you know, you're losing, I don't know, millions of dollars a month in the beating it in the red, I mean, look, can't last too much longer.
Well, Kerry, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. I always enjoy your perspective into what's going on in WWE. And again, there was a perfect time to have you on front row at Monday Night Raw, which was very highly anticipated. I really appreciated your insight into that show and to everything else leading up to WrestleMania 30. So thank you.
You're welcome, Dave. Thanks for having me on. I always enjoy being on here.
Where can people find you on social media?
Just under my name on Facebook, just Kerry Morris on Facebook. I have a Twitter, but I don't think I've ever used it, honestly. I think I've logged into it once, and I didn't know how to use it, honestly. So, ShyTanOT is the handle. If someone tell me how to use it, I might use it more often.
Maybe when we're down in New Orleans, I'll give you a little tech refresh.
I might need that, yeah. I'm a young person who is not tech savvy at all.
Well, again, thank you so much for being here on OWW Radio. Always enjoy your insight. And for those listening, don't forget to check out the OWW website at onlineworldofwrestling.com for the latest news, analysis, and updates from the world of professional wrestling. While you're there, you can also catch up on previous episodes of OWW Radio. You can email us at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com to submit topics or questions you would like us to discuss on an upcoming broadcast. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at OWWCOM to get all program updates and announcements. We'll be posting directly to the official OWW Facebook homepage. Until next time, I am David. Thank you again to my guest, Kerry Morris, for today's entertaining interview. We hope you enjoyed the program, and we'll be back soon with another edition of OWW Radio. All right, well that's a-